Good evening.
Good evening.
How's this light turn on, Pastor? That little light, isn't it? Huh?
Light not working.
No wonder I couldn't see that today.
Oh, somebody turned it off.
How do you turn it on? It's okay. It's fine. Oh, I see. Well, thank you. See, it does work, Pastor. I might help you too. There's a place over in Lancaster, Pennsylvania called Sights and Sounds. Beautiful, huge place. It has a lot of shows, Christian shows, Jesus, Samson, Esther, Noah, Jonah. Anyway, there's one over in Branson, and it's a longer drive than Lancaster. Lancaster is about 6 miles, or 6 hours, 6 miles. That's the other Lancaster, that's 30 miles. But we go to, over in Branson, there's this little theater we go to. And it's a comedy, and it's about this little church family. And they do some music in it, and it's really, if you're ever in Branson, you got to go see that. But this song's in there. It's out of the thing. It's called Smoke on the Mountain. People used to talk about the fire. Back then they had a great desire. See God's hand work in the midst of them. But it seems that since I've gotten older, folks' hearts have grown a little colder. It's time to get our hearts filled once again. Bring them in to the filling station. Let them get a taste of good old-fashioned true salvation. Bring them to the spout where the glory flows out. It'll make them cry. It'll make them shout. Everything is free. It'll never run out. Filling station. I can see the world a-trembling and a-searching, looking for an answer that is certain. It's up to us to share God's love with them. Go out into the hedges and the highways, share the love of Jesus with the unsaved. Go out into the nations, no more hesitations, compel them to come in. Bring them in to the filling station, let them get a taste. True salvation, bring them to the spout where the glory flows out. It'll make them cry, it'll make them shout. Everything is free, it'll never run out. Filling station, bring them in to the filling station. Let them get a taste of good old-fashioned true salvation. Bring them to the spout where the glory flows out. It'll make them cry. It'll make them shout. Everything is free. It'll never run out at the filling station. Everything is free. It'll never run out. Filling station. The filling station.
Come.
Hello, my name is Anna Comrades Cassimi. I actually got married in January, so I'm a little bit. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for allowing me come and present the ministry. I was adopted from West Africa, Liberia. I remember all I can think of is Civil War since I was in Liberia. I was born in Civil War and I was adopted from Civil War, basically. But the last Civil War of 2003, my mom died, and my sister and I was taken to the orphanage home. I was 10 years old when my mom died, and before that, actually, the last Civil War then, I was 1 year old and my father died. Sorry for my accent. when I was 1 year old, my father died. And so my mom just, by true God's grace, raised us until I was 10, and then she died, and my sister and I was taken to the orphanage home. We were there for 4 years, and then I remember one Saturday afternoon, I got a phone call, and it's like, "Oh, Catherine, I said, "What?" They said, "Somebody wants to talk to you." I said, "Oh, okay. Where? From America." I said, "What? From America?" And it was my mom, Andrea. She called to talk to me and tell me that they want to adopt us. And I was so blessed. And not even blessed because I was an orphan, I was blessed that somebody finally won us. And so to me, it was a blessing that God not only opened doors for us to have a family again, but it was a family from a different country that wanted us. And so my sister and I was adopted in 2007. And I was 14 and my sister was 11. I mean, what, 11? And so while we were here in 2015, we usually go horseback riding in Ripley. And one day I saw a bucky. It was an Amish bucky. And so we started, I said, "Who are those people?" You know, we came in 2007, so I'm still getting used to America and all of that. And my mom said, "Oh, no, they are Amish." And I said, "What does that mean?" And she told me the Amish, what they believe. And she said they believe that their good work will take them to heaven. And I said, "Well, it is your good work that will take you to heaven." And she said, "No, it's not your good works." She said, "We are saved through Christ. And after we are saved, then we can work to win people to Christ. But your good work cannot take you to heaven." And I said, "Really?" Because I have been in churches since I was little, but I just could not connect salvation and good works. I always think that you have to do good work first, and then God will choose you. And so then she shared with me the salvation plan, and I got saved in the van that sermon. And in 2016, we had a missionary from Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa. I think you might know it as Ivory Coast. And so he went and started preaching, and his message was, "How can they be sent, or how can they preach except a preacher? And how can they be sent except they be called?" And then in his lesson, he talked about even people in jungle of Africa or in Brazil, if they never hear the gospel, God will still hold them accountable. When they die, they will go to hell. And I remember asking my parents, I said, "I don't think that preacher is preaching right. Why would God send people to hell that have never heard the gospel? It's not their fault that they haven't heard the gospel." And my mom said, "Yes, but even God says creatures, the creation, show God handiworks. And even though they don't know Christ, that nobody has told them about Christ, they can still see that God is God and true creation." And I said, "But it's not their fault. Somebody has to go and call and tell them about God." And God said, "That's why we send our missionaries." And I remember that night, I said, "God, I want to be your missionary. But please don't send me to Liberia." I already said that. I said, "Please don't send me to Liberia." Why? Because I have horrible memories of Liberia. And like when I was the first adopter, all I could hear were gunshots, like constantly in my mind. I could not separate having a freedom from, you know, yes, I'm in a family now, but I'm just hearing fight, fight, fight. And I don't want to relive that. And God says, "If you want to be a missionary, I get to choose where to go." So in 2018, I went to Marietta Bible College, where I'm a preacher old. And so I called him preacher old. Preacher old. So I started learning about the Bible, more about missions, and it really opened my heart again to be experienced to different kind of missionaries coming in and giving lectures. And I was able to take some mission trip. I went to the Philippines. I went to Honduras. I went to Mexico, just seeking where God would have me to be. Because in the back of my mind, I want to work with children. Children who were like me, or who was like me. I know how it's like. I know the feeling like, why do people not like me? Why do my family member not like me? But I can relate to those kids and tell them, look at what God did to me. And even though your family does not take you in, but God still loves you. And he sent somebody like me to tell you how he loves you. So in 2020, I took a mission trip to Haiti. And like Bishop Offenbrocker says, I met an orphan. Anyway, I took a trip to Haiti, and I got to see the children. And this home is really exciting to me because it was not like the home I was at. In Africa, everything was straight. Like, you go to bed at a certain time, you do this at a certain time. This orphanage home is set up like it's family. And these kids are not for adoption. They are constantly learning the word of God, going to school. We have our own Christian school. And so I said, wow, this is the kind of ministry I was looking for. I can see myself coming back. And God, I'm sure God was like, yes, right, you will come back. Anyway, at the end of my trip, I met the preacher, actually, his son, and he and I started corresponding, and we got married in January. And our prayer and goal is to be full-time missionary to Haiti and help out with the ministry, but then later on go back to Liberia and start a children's home there also. And I'm just blessed that God has given me this opportunity, not only because I'm a shy person, and so when God gave me the opportunity, I said, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it. But, you know, with God's grace, he gave us grace when we need grace. So thank you so much for letting me come. Maybe.
Hello, my name is Lillian. I was adopted by Todd and Andrea Cumberledge. We've been here for about 15 years. It was a lot of adjustment, but we made it through by the grace of God. This is my older sister, Anna, as you all know. Anna and I, we have not always been together, but when our mother passed away, we lived most of our lives together, and we were adopted together. And I'm very grateful because a lot of the kids in the orphanage home were not adopted with their siblings. They were split up. And the Lord definitely wanted us to be together. So we are very excited. I got saved at the age of 11. I was, you know, like she said, we grew up in a Christian home. We've known the Bible all our lives. Our uncle is a pastor, and we were in and out of the word deity, but, you know, knowing Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I didn't have that in my heart, even though I knew the Bible. And it wasn't until I came to America that my mother led me to God. I mean, I knew the road to salvation. It just wasn't in here, and I needed to make that decision. So I made the decision to accept Christ as my Savior, and shortly after that, I surrendered to be a missionary. I always had a dream since I was 7 to be a missionary back to my home country because I've seen the life there. I knew how hard it was living there, and I wanted to be able to help my country people. Since I had the opportunity to live in the United States, I wanted to be able to carry the gospel back. And I surrendered to be a missionary. Excuse me. I've taken many missions trips, but in 2018, actually 2017, I decided to go to Marietta Bible College to go for Christian counseling because I wanted to be a Christian counselor, and I kind of wanted to have my degree in biblical counseling as well as in, you know, the worldview counseling, but I wanted to be established for my biblical one first, and the Lord just had a different plan. I met my husband, Flynn, and we started talking and decided to get married. So we got married in 2018. I actually never finished my course there at the college. We were at the graduation today. All I could think about was, hey, I should have been up there graduating today. But you know what? The Lord had a better plan. I wouldn't change it for anything. He knew what he was doing. He knew I wasn't going to finish. So he was in there. And the Lord blessed Flynn and I. We got married, and we moved to Papua New Guinea, which is his country, to be missionaries. We were there for about 2 years. And Elena and I came home summer of last year to do some paperwork for her father. So we were separated from him for 9 months, and he just came back to the States. So we are very excited. We have a church in Papua New Guinea that he started by the grace of God. And we are looking to start something here in Ohio, wherever the Lord has opened doors. We have a possibility close to where we live, but we don't want to move into things without the will of God. So we want to be sure God is in it. And if you guys could keep us in your prayers, we truly appreciate it. Thank you all.
So we were actually going to play the piano, but this song keep coming to my mind. And because of our life, how God has blessed us, and it just takes one life, one person to touch another. And this is not exactly like our testimony, but when you hear the lyrics of it, you will understand what we are trying to reach out. It's called Two Friends. My friend, I stand in judgment now. I feel that your complaints on high. On earth, I walk beside you day by day. You could have led me straight to him. My knowledge then was very dim. But never once did you show me the way. You call me friend, but that was then, when we were young and best of friends, living here on good old planet. But now I know that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. You never told me of that second birth. And now I'm lost forever. I'm burning in this awful place. I'm suffering so much pain. And through it all, I see your face. I'm glad you're bound for my friend. You taught me many things, it's true. I called you friend, I trusted you. We walk by day and talk a lot at night. But now I know that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fit and show me how to walk in paths of light. But you let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Now I stand each day at last condemned. Yes, I call you my friend in life. I trusted you to joy and strife. And now I see that you were not my friend. So tell your friends about the Lord, so they won't reach this awful place, so they won't suffer so much pain, and in their suffering see your face. I'm glad you're bound for heaven, and you won't reach this bitter end.
friends.
Amen. Thank you, Anna and Lillian. What a blessing. You ought to go home and thank God for America. You were born here. All right, we're going to see the flash drive now. This is the orphanage in Haiti. You know how they get the kids? People drop them off. They go out on the streets and pick them up and bring them in. That's where the kids come from. Yeah. You come on, Rich. That's where the kids come from. They don't get them through the government or anything. They get them off the streets. People drop them off at the doorstep. This ministry was started in, I believe, 2010, Anna said. So we're going to see this now. It's about 15 minutes long.
Churches are the backbone of this ministry. Ramile started his first church in 1988. Since then, he has planted more than 60 churches throughout the country of Haiti. He hosts a countrywide preaching conference in January of each year. Most of the preachers, their families, and deacons attend the week-long event. These believers have made a profession of faith and are going forward to get baptized. We see Brother Ramile encouraging the preachers and church leaders. Some of these men have traveled for days on foot to participate in the conference. These dear pastors endure many hardships and survive on less than $100 a month. The conference is an important time for them to recharge and fellowship with one another. Since the major earthquake in 2010, Ramile and Salette have been helping orphan children. The need to feed and house abandoned children has continued to grow significantly. Increasingly, they have medical needs, clothing needs, and require a stable food supply. With the financial help of American Christians, the children currently receive two basic meals each day. The primary focus of the ministry is to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and see souls saved. Not only adults, but many of the children make the decision to put their trust and faith in our Savior. A secondary focus is on the basic necessities of survival, including a stable food supply. Donations to the ministry are not only used to buy food, but to develop sustainable food sources. Recently, a tilapia fish farm was built that helps to provide an occasional protein source. Last year, a chicken barn was built to raise chickens that will feed the children and possibly provide an income source. Four years ago, the Lord has laid it upon Ramiel's heart to build a large home, providing beds for 200 children. Today, as construction continues, more than 80 rescue children are cared for in overcrowded, non-ideal conditions. All of the cement work that you see here was poured by hand, manual labor, 5-gallon pails of concrete, 2 stories high. As donations are received, work on the children's home will continue until it is finished. Once completed, the 200 beds will fill up quickly. Haiti has very little public education. 90% of primary schools are private. 30 years ago, Ramiel envisioned Christian schools throughout the country. Today, he has planted more than 40 Christian schools. The expense of education includes books, teacher compensation, and uniforms. The school uniforms are required by law. Each color is unique and associates a child to a specific school. Most families simply cannot afford the cost of uniforms, books, and shoes. The bus ride ensures safety and also minimizes wear and tear on shoes. The ministry is always in need of a good bus. Perhaps you have one you can donate. U.S. church buses donated to the ministry are packed with supplies and shipped to Haiti, much like a container on wheels. You may be asking yourself, what can we do to help? What does this ministry need? Please pray for souls to be saved in Haiti, spiritual protection from our adversary, for our church pastors, and the rescue children. Please consider financial support that would buy food for the children, finish the home for them to live in, support some struggling pastors, or maybe even help with education. Visit us online at www.nehemiahschildren.org, where you will find updated information about the ministry and get details about specific projects that are ongoing. Consider a short-term guided missions trip to Haiti for you and your group. We make multiple trips each year, and if you decide to go, bring some balloons. The children love them. Sign up for our quarterly newsletter, Nehemiah's Cry. Send an email to admin@nehemiahschildren.org. Thank you. And remember, please pray for the Casimers and the ministry in Haiti.
Shy of a miracle, how God can take people and put them together like this, arrange them and put them in places and put in their heart. Anna's been on 4 mission trips, young girl herself, 4 mission trips, seeking God's will. Lost her dad when she was 1 year old, lost her mother when she was young, lived in a civil war in Liberia. One day God showed up. Life changed. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of young kids are still living just like that in hundreds of countries. And most of America don't even know and most don't care. So she's here tonight on behalf of that ministry. She don't have prayer cards yet. She just got here to America. And she don't have prayer cards yet. She don't have a display. But I wanted her. She don't know how long. She may be going back, kind of uncertain. And you working with somebody in Florida? Is that correct? The base is in Florida. Yeah. Your mission board, is in Florida. So they got a home base here in America, and it's functioning in Florida. But we'll talk about this as a church family, discuss it as a possible ministry, and then we'll get more information as time goes on. I've seen the doctrinal statement. She sent it to me. It's perfect. It's great, right where we believe and everything. So I think we would be blessed to invest in something like this, helping children. God has special care for children and widows in the Bible. So thank you, Anna. Thank you. They went over to the graduation today in Marietta. How many graduated? 11, 13, 14? 14. Dr. Goddard had to leave the service. He didn't stay. Couldn't give the award, couldn't give him the diplomas. He had to go out. It took him, I don't know exactly what's going on, but he's not well. So anyway, keep that in prayer. But Met me in Marietta. Flynn's from Papua New Guinea. I met him in Marietta. He was in my class. And how God can bring everybody together, it's just miraculous. So I'm going to ask Flynn to come. He's a preacher, church planner, and possible for the future. They're not here on deputation tonight. They just come here to bring Anna. And so, but anyway, we want you to become familiar with them and their ministry, because someday, maybe next year or sometime, we were looking for another missionary. You'll be familiar with this family. They're going into a town possibly and start a church in Peebles, Ohio. I preached in Peebles, Ohio. A church in Peebles, Ohio helped me. The pastor of that church resigned, married a Filipino, and went to the Philippines as a missionary. Mark Barney, he's still there. The church in Peebles closed. I hadn't been a church there in years. This man feels perhaps that God's going to lead him to reopen that building and start to reopen that church. Plus, he's got the church he started in Papua New Guinea in the 2.5 years they were over there. So his young people got vision. They got heart. They got desire. So I'm going to have him come bring a 15-minute message plan, okay? 15 minutes. Bring some message from the Word of God tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
You don't need that. You got that.
Yes. All right, good evening, church. Okay, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I've got 15 minutes. I'll try to make it within 10 and give 5 minutes back to Pastor. But yes, I'm from Papua New Guinea. Met my wife, Mary, at a Bible college, Lillian. We got married 2018 after I graduated, went back to Papua New Guinea. And after we went there, we worked with two other missionaries there, partnered with them. We put our resources together. We purchased a land. And we gave it to another preacher to start a church. And while we were helping him, God opened another door for us to go to another town. And we started another church, Bible Light Baptist Church. And it's going on right now. God bless the church. They baptized 5 new converts last month. And while we were helping there during COVID-19, God opened another town for us, another door, during COVID-19. And I thank God for COVID-19 too. I mean, we look at COVID-19 on a negative side, but God used that to start a church. And through that, we moved into that town. We start Macedonia Independent Baptist Church. And before I came in March, I baptized 10 new converts. And now a preacher friend of mine is taking over the ministry, and it's growing. Every Sunday, they've seen souls saved, and people continue to come to church, and they're reaching. And the town that we started a church, not a single Baptist church in that town. Not a single one. And it's a big town, about 15, 20,000 people. But not a single Bible-believing church. But we thank God for COVID-19. God used that to open that door for us to go in and start the church, Macedonia Baptist Church. And we thank God for that. And there's needs everywhere, like we saw the slide today, I mean the video. There's needs in Haiti, needs in America, needs in Dresden, needs in everywhere. Needs everywhere. Now my family and I moved back to Ohio. God is leading us to back here to start a church in Ohio. So we've been praying about it and seeking God's will. And Lord willing, we will, like Pastor mentioned, the church, Brush Creek Baptist Church. It's been closed down for many years. But God burn in our hearts for that ministry to see one of these days that God will open the doors and to see souls saved and have services again in that church building. So pray for us, pray for my family and I. Like Pastor said, we are not here for deputation. We just have to be a good brother-in-law to bring my sister-in-law here. So that's why we are here. All right, if you have your Bible, go with me to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. I'll just give you three-point outline, and to be a good Baptist, I have to stick with three-point outline, and then I'll sit down. All right, Luke chapter number 18, and verse number 35 down to verse number 43. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious God in heaven, Father, we thank you for this wonderful evening. Thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit. And Father, thank you for Pastor O and the work he's doing here, and the blessing he has been to Marietta Bible College and thousands of students all across this country and all across the globe, teaching and preaching the gospel. And Father, thank you for his ministry. Father, we pray that you continue to bless, strengthen, and continue to use him. Give him many more years, and pray that may you continue to use him. Pray for Dr. Gaila. Yes, we pray for him. And Father, we thank God for him. And God, you continue to give him strength and bless him and bless his ministry as well. Father, we love you tonight. Bless your word now. Use me for your glory. Hide me behind the cross and use me just a vessel of honor tonight. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse 35 of Luke chapter number 18, the Bible reads in verse number, I'll pick it up in verse number 32. Verse 32, the Bible reads, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully treated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." Thank God Christ is not in the grave. Thank God the grave did not hold Christ down, or even the tomb did not hold Christ down, or even that big rock they put in front of that tomb, or even the seal the Roman government put in front of that stone did not hold Christ back. On the third and the glorious day, Christ resurrected out of that grave. And that's the hope we have in him. Verse number 34, the Bible reads, "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Sadly, his disciples did not understand what Jesus Christ was teaching here, the parable that he was giving to them. His disciples did not understand that. Verse number 35, and the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Verse number 36, the Bible reads, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. After he sat with his disciples, after he taught them, he left, and him and his disciples, they went to Jericho. And on their way to Jericho, there was this blind man. The Bible did not mention his name. The Bible did not give a great detail about that particular person. But that man, a blind man, the Bible says, and we know the blind people. The blind man here is a picture of it's a picture of sin right here. This man is blind. He cannot help himself. He cannot take care of himself. But so he sat down by the roadside and begging. We've got a lot of beggars in Papua New Guinea. Some, they are able to take care of themselves, but they just want to go out and beg. They can work and take care of themselves, but they just want to beg. But this man cannot help himself because he was blind. And let's continue to read. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ passed by. Jesus Christ passed by and he asked, when he heard the noise, he asked, what's going on? Can somebody fill me in? Can somebody tell me what's going on here? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passed by. Verse number 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 39, the Bible reads, and they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, the son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. So he asked, he cried out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Two times he cried, have mercy on me. People tried to stop him, but he said, no, have mercy on me. He cried out some more. He said, Lord, the son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and he commanded his disciples to bring that blind man to him. You know, when I was reading that passage, it dawned on me that Jesus could have chose a different route to go to Jericho. Or Jesus could just disappear and appear in Jericho. Or he don't have to go through the route that he went through. I mean, he could choose a different route to go to his destination. But Jesus knew that there's a need ahead of him. There's a person, there's a man who's a blind man. He's been blind for many years. And Jesus chose to go through that route because there is a need. Christians, there is a need in our world, in our community today. The greatest need of everybody in this world is Jesus Christ. If they have never been saved by the grace of God, they are blind like this blind man in the Bible. Remember where you were before God saved you. This blind man would have not received his sight if Christ had not passed the way through Jericho. He would still be blind and the story will be different. But thank God Christ chose to go through Jericho and he met the blind man. And by the way, before God saved us, we were blind. Spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. And if you are here tonight, never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, I want to tell you, you are blind spiritually. And if you've never been saved, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to spend eternity in lake of fire. This blind man, he met Christ. I met Christ 2005 by the grace of God. I grew up in Lutheran home. I was taught to be a good boy. If you do bad, you have to do a lot of good to cover up. Lutheran and Catholic, they are brothers. They do the same thing. I grew up in Lutheran home. Taught to be a good boy. God sprinkled baptism when I was an infant. But you know, the Bible teaches faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That time I was lost, but thank God, By God's mercy, God allowed me to live another year. I walked into Lighthouse Baptist Church. And for the first time, I had a gospel preached. The preacher was preaching on Isaiah 64, verse number 6. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And he explained what is filthy rags. He explained the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gave invitation. I walked down the aisle. God saved by the grace of God. Baptized a month later. I left. That time, I never walked back into a Lutheran church. I left Lutheran church. I found me in a local church, a home church. I got baptized, participated, until God called me to full-time ministry in 2011. But I thank God that God's mercy reached down from heaven and saved my soul. If it wasn't for God's mercy, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be somewhere in Papua New Guinea, life miserable. But I thank God that Christ came by my way. Aren't you glad that Christ came by your way? You were not looking for Christ. Christ came looking for us. The Bible says in next, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. Why he came down to this world. And the blind man, by the grace of God, we see the condition of the lost. The first thing, the condition of the lost. When you read in, we don't have time. When you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the God of this world talks about the God of this world, little g God, the Satan, the devil himself, that blinded the eyes of men. Today we've got a lot of entertainment in this country. Amen. Because God of this world had blinded the eyes of men, and people today, they don't focus on Christ. They remove their focus. They focus on minor things and little things, religious things, and just go to church and be a good person and do your best. And when you go stand before God, God will weigh out your good and bad and then decide whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Because the God of this world had blinded the eyes of men that they will not see the need of true salvation in Christ. The condition of the lost. That man, I don't care if they have a lot of money. I don't care if they live in a mansion. If they have not, if they don't believe in Christ, they are blind. They are lost. The needs. We see the condition of the lost. Opportunity number two, opportunity of salvation. And I'll give you the last one and we'll be done. Verse number 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth had passed by. Opportunity of salvation. Opportunity. You may be one here tonight, never been saved by the grace of God. This could be your last opportunity to say yes to Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Opportunity of salvation. Let's jump down to verse number 43. Effect of salvation. Number three, effect of salvation. Verse 43, and the Bible says, and what? Immediately. Salvation, immediately. It's not you do half and God will do half. No. It's immediate. When you say yes to Christ, just instantly Christ comes into your heart and saves your soul. An effect of salvation. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We see the salvation story here. That's the beauty of salvation. That man was blind. Yes, he was blind. He sat by the wayside every day and begged for leftovers. He sat by the wayside. That's his occupation. That's his life. If it wasn't for God's grace, he'll still be begging. But aren't you glad Christ came by his way and he met him? He was saved by the grace of God. And the next morning his family members came to see. He wasn't there. The space is vacant. The spot is vacant. He used to sit there every day, day in and day out. But when his family came to see him, he wasn't there. When his neighbors came to see him, he wasn't there. Why? Because somebody's been saved by the grace of God and he knew what is right to do. He followed Christ. God saved us. No doubt God saved us for those of us here tonight. But how are we doing with the following? Are we following Christ? Are we still following Christ? This man, the Bible reads here in verse number 43. I want you to see. And immediately he received his sight. And what? Followed him. After he got saved, he followed Christ. And that's the part that we Christians need to do by following him. Through thick and thin, let's follow him. Amen. Even to the grave, let's follow him. That's why my family and I here back in the States, because we want to follow God's call in our life and God's leadership. Let us pray. Heavenly gracious God, Father, thank you for this wonderful evening. Bless your word. Bless this time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Glenn.
Thank you, Pastor.
I didn't want to be short on time for you, but this is America. This isn't Papua New Guinea. This isn't Haiti. This is America. I could stay all night. You run around with these people. You run around with them. You spend time with them. One of the boys down at the banquet, the college banquet on Friday night, they gave all of us teachers, administration, gifts. These students go together. They only come with a bag and a few clothes. These students themselves, not the college, the students, they gather money to give every teacher and every administration gifts. Oh, they gave us lovely gifts, and so forth. And the boy that handed it out, Timothy, and he's from Papua New Guinea, and so they was giving out the gifts. And he said, one of our teachers now to come and get the gift is, they call me Preacher O. And I said, Preacher O. And so I went up, and Timothy said, here comes the man that fires us up in the class. I told him, I said, the fire's about gone. I want to tell you, if you would go to a mission field, it'd change your life. It'd change your life if you just go to a mission field. There back there sits a young lady. I don't know how old she is. I'm not going to ask her. On her own, made 4 mission trips, seeking the will of God. And look how she was raised. Look how she was raised. And I don't know about you, but my heart's been blessed. When I began to hear the story about how God put these 2 girls and kept them together and brought them over here and put them in a Christian home and then allowed me to meet them and have a part in their life and so forth, and how they met Nana, went to Haiti and met an orphan that needed a wife. Or she found an orphan that needed. How God puts things together. It's just absolutely remarkable from different parts of the world. And I want you to meet them. And we'll see about next year, Flynn, have you and your wife back in. But I want you to meet them. And you on Facebook, pray for these folks. Pray for them. I got a special request from Jim and Noreen Bishop, who are faithful watchers on our Facebook. They're on there all the time for our services. They live over near Coshocton. They're both not in good health. And I just got a letter from them. I have it here in my pocket. I'm not going to take the time to read it. But Jim and Noreen Bishop, please keep them in prayer. They both, they want to come and visit the church. They support our church. They send us a check. They sent another one just today and or this week. And so keep them in prayer. I want to say that on Facebook because I know they're watching us. And so, Jim and Noreen, thank you for being part of our ministry. Even though it's by way of Facebook, thank you. And we certainly will be praying for you. All right, so we'll be saying goodbye to our Facebook friends at this time. We'll be back on Wednesday night at about 7:20 for our Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you for connecting with us today. Now, before we...